Well, church family, we are blessed this morning to be able to welcome back today as our guest ministry, our good friend and extended church family member, Pastor Andrew Ferguson of Hope Church in Snohomish, Washington. That's always a challenge to say that right, but I think I got pretty close. Now, I truly say extended family in that Andrew is the son-in-law of our very own George and Sandy Mescali, and he's brother-in-law to our own Amber Mescali Facet. Both Andrew and his wife Megan, who is here today, and their four children and son-in-law, they're down for the big family Christmas visit. And when I heard he was coming, I was very happy to extend an invitation to him to once again address our congregation as he has in the past. And we're blessed that he's available to share the word of the Lord with us today. Now, I know that many of you are already familiar with Andrew, but there's some of you here that might be meeting him today for the first time. So just a little bit about him. Andrew and Megan have been married for 31 years, and they actually previously lived in Reno for 5.5 years in the mid-90s when he worked in advertising as a graphic designer. And it was while living here in Reno that in 1995, the Lord called him into full-time ministry. And ultimately, that led him to Hope Church, where he began pastoring alongside his father from 2002 until his father's passing in 2010, at which time he assumed the role of lead pastor. Andrew always comes to us with a good word from the Lord, and I believe from the message title in today's bulletin, we're in for a real blessing today. So as he comes now to share, will you please give a warm river welcome back to Pastor Andrew Ferguson.
Amen. Come on, brother. Thank you. I do. Thank you. I think I'll be all right. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. I'm going to stand here for a moment and just stare at you. Something I learned a long time ago, like some people go, I talk with them and I learn about what they do in their life and business or this and that, and I just go, gosh, I wish I could be like you. And often they respond and go, I would never want your job. Like one of the number one things that people fear more than death is public speaking. So to literally come up here and stand and look at everybody creates a lot of, so sometimes I just learned, like, I'm just getting up here to stare at you. It's just, not that I'm peering into your soul or anything, I'm just looking at you. Extended family, and that's the way it feels for me. Being here for Christmas time, we haven't been here for Christmas in 6 years, so it's been a while. And to have all of our kids convene together from various states, that in itself has just been huge for us. And I want to say hi to my daughter, Victoria, who had to stay behind because she's not feeling good this morning. So acknowledging her. I've grown up in church all my life. I could be a professional at checking the box. Hey, it's Sunday, check the box. Did it. It's good. I hope you're not here checking the box today. But I say that in a way to just challenge you. You're here. This is the body of Christ. Jesus is coming back someday for the body of Christ. It's so normal for us to get into our own head, to get into our own little space, and just believe that I'm alone here in this world. Yeah, I know, I hear Jesus is coming back, but we get all up inside of ourselves, forgetting that we've got a lot of people around us. And so I just want to encourage you, you're part of a family. Something that we started to do as a pastoral team over the last year plus was ask some really hard questions about how we're doing church. We sat down with people, good church people, people that come all the time, people who serve all the time, people who give, people who've been committed, and we asked them questions, and we said, don't hold back. We want the truth. Because as Christians, sometimes it's easy to give the right answer, especially when the pastor's asking you. And what we heard back was disappointing and yet not surprising. We heard things like, yeah, we like church, but we just kind of do the same thing all the time. I don't feel like I'm growing. Some people said, I feel lonely most of the time. It's hard to make friends. All of these things, and I'm like, oh Lord, what are we doing here? But we did it on purpose. And in and through that process, the Lord emphasized two things to us. And so these things are just fresh and alive inside me as a pastor. I share this because I know when God's speaking to leaders and churches and pastors, he's not just talking always to one person, but it's bigger than that because we're the body of Christ. So I just want to encourage you. The two things that the Lord just nailed down for us was discipleship, which isn't a surprise because Jesus said, do this until I return. Go make disciples. Yes, Lord. We know that. Discipleship and relationship. None of those were surprises. But then when we began to compare how we do church, how we live our lives, we began to realize, yeah, how are we doing discipleship? And how are we doing it, relationship? And so with that, I realized I was steeped into culture. I was steeped into just doing things what I was used to, and the Lord has been disrupting that in a great way. The most effective discipleship usually comes through relationship. Now, you come to church long enough, you get to know Pastor Rod, which, by the way, Pastor Rod and Stacy, thank you for letting me get to come and be a part of the church today. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I understand this as a pastor, people that I've never met before, I'll introduce myself finally on a Sunday because we kind of meet, and they already kind of know me, but I don't know them, and so the relationship's kind of funky, but you know, it's good. They're getting to know me. Great. But I need to get to know them. But I know as a pastor, my personality is way more introverted. I'm way comfortable to sit and not talk to anybody. It sounds bizarre. But for me, that's my normal. It's if I'm somewhere else, I'm happy. I can do that all day long. So the Lord's like, Andrew, I need to work on you because you're comfortable there. You need to dig into relationship with people. But, oh, Lord, I've got all these people. How can I be friends with all of them? It's impossible. Well, it might be impossible to level of real deep friendship. But he's God. And so, anyways, I just put before you to encourage you that you are a part of a body. When the invitation came from Pastor Rod, a phone call, I immediately began to say, Lord, what do you want to say? So you're here today. The Lord's already been talking. The Lord already has something in mind because he knows you're going to be here. Yeah, obviously, I got the invitation to be here to share something, but what I share with you is for us. It's because the Lord loves you. You may have snuck in here today, or someone might have dragged you by the ear into church today, but you're here. And I know this, that the Lord loves you. That's all over Scripture. He loves you. So you're here for a reason. The Lord loves you. He wants to speak to you. The message today is on legacy. And I'm gonna bring some definition to that, legacy. When I was praying, saying, Lord, what do you want to share to the church in Reno? I immediately saw a man in a place kind of lifting his hands to the Lord. And as the Lord is faithful to do, I'm like, all right, Lord, I see that. What am I seeing? And just immediately he said, Daniel. I'm like, okay, why am I seeing Daniel? And then from there, the Lord just begins to give direction. And so we're going to be in the book of Daniel today, Daniel chapter 6. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn there. We'll have the scriptures up there. This is a definition of legacy. The long-lasting impact of particular events, actions, etc., that took place in the past or of a person's life. Long-lasting impact that happens through events and actions, things that happened in the past that are now playing out today. In essence, that is a definition of legacy. The legacy that you and I are to leave for the people around us when we leave, not maybe just a season where we're here and then we're not here, that legacy needs to be Jesus. Often we think of legacy in the form of self, and yes, my legacy, I leave something behind. I want to leave a legacy for my family for sure. But more and more I realize that legacy needs to be Jesus. It needs to be Jesus all day long. Because that's where the anointing's at. Sure, dad was this and dad was a little of that and but it's the residue, and the residue is a horrible term to use for the anointing of Jesus. No, it needs to be that anointing that's left behind, that when they're facing situations in their life, when they're thinking about how to deal with this or face this, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And maybe the Holy Spirit says, yeah, you remember how dad dealt with that? That was me. It wasn't me. It was Jesus in me. So as I talk about legacy today, I just let it just keep seeping into you that this is all about Jesus, of course. We're going to look at the story of Daniel. His legacy that is being read literally today has been read for thousands of years. And some of his legacy speaks into what is happening in the world today and what is going to come. Pretty amazing legacy as a man, a prophet, listens to the Lord and then speaks the things of the Lord. And a legacy is forged through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Typically, we say, oh, I want to leave a good legacy. Usually, the best legacy is one that has been forged through the fires of life, which the fires of life or the struggles of life tend to be negative. I don't want those things. Those are hard things, but those are the things that create the legacy. It's how we hold ourselves together. It's how we trust the Lord. That's the legacy. That's a big part of the legacy, because I have been able to officiate multiple memorials and funerals for people, as I know Pastor Rod probably has too. I heard that there was one of the sisters of the church recently passed away, and there was a memorial for her yesterday. Is that true? Yeah. Here's what I've come to learn. As we celebrate the deceased, the family member, and talk about his or her life, what I've come to learn is when I'm looking at the family members, which of many I don't know, that's where you see the legacy. That's where you really put the pieces together to know. Now, someone could have been the most amazing person in the world. That doesn't guarantee that everyone in their family or friends are going to be wonderful people. But I usually can see the legacy of that person in the other people that are left behind. I'm going to start here, and we'll come back to it, because I'm going to read all of Daniel chapter 6. But I want to start in verse 16 and 17, because this is a real dark moment for Daniel. It's how most people know Daniel. Thanks, hon. I could hear my voice going. Thank you. Helps just doing that with me. We're all together now. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the lion's den. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you! Exclamation point. I think sometimes we forget about this part of this moment in Daniel's situation. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might change concerning Daniel. So Daniel's now into this dark place with ferocious lions, of which we'll come back and visit here shortly. Dark place. Has anybody ever thought this? I didn't sign up for this. Have you ever said that quietly to yourself or out loud or to another human being? I didn't sign up for this. I can't speak for Daniel to say he was saying that, but when I read this and think about this, thinking about what it is to leave a legacy for people. I've said it many a times, and probably the most amount of times I've ever said it in my life is as a pastor. I didn't sign up for this. Made me think of going through COVID as a pastor. Yay. I said it to the Lord. I didn't sign up for this. As people are flooding out of the church, people are ghosting me that have been members of the church for 20 years, not saying a word. I'm just hearing through other people. People telling me what to do. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. I didn't sign up for this. I can remember having that conversation with the Lord that I didn't know. No, I signed up to be a good pastor, just have church together, live harmoniously as the body of Christ. What I was saying to the Lord was, I agreed to certain terms, but not this. But that's on me. In my mind, I had my idea of what this was to be. And this wasn't it. But it was in and through that process. It was, I remember sitting with a pastor friend of mine, and we were talking through just some of the roller coaster that we were in the throes of. And I remember, and he's got a few years on me, and he just looked at me and smiled, and he said, Andrew, don't forget this one word, faithfulness. He goes, there's something to be said about just being faithful to the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to figure all of this out. You don't have to have all the answers. You just be faithful to the Lord. Oh, that hit me like a ton of bricks. That was the Lord speaking through a friend. Just be faithful. Because this wasn't what I had signed up for. I didn't sign up for financial loss. I didn't sign up to have to reach out to the government to help cover costs. I didn't sign up for pleasing people at this level. Because I'm a people pleaser, but I'm Lord's healing me. I didn't sign up to try and fix unfixable problems that no one has written a book for. Why are you laughing? I know why you're laughing. Because all of us went through it, and nobody's written a book for this. I know families in our church whose kids still won't talk to them because they had a different opinion about this versus their opinion. I know kids who are withholding their grandkids from their parents because they were so divided. Wait a minute. We didn't sign up for this. And that's where the scripture, just Jesus reminds me of, in this world, you will have a lot of tribulation. You're going to deal with a lot of stuff, but take heart. I've conquered that. So anyways, what I came to learn was, this is what it is to follow Jesus. It's not my plan, but it's his. He knew COVID was coming, and I got the privilege to be a pastor during that time. I got the privilege to be a shepherd during that time. Didn't please everybody. Nope. But I had to be faithful to him. And that's part of, I guess, leaving a legacy. So here's a couple questions for you all before we just jump into chapter 6. You don't need to raise hands or anything, but do any of you have situations right now in your life where maybe quietly you're saying to yourself, I didn't sign up for this? Is it Angelo? Yes. Is it Pastor Angelo? Yes. You kind of went down that list of things about giving and finances. I would probably say it'd be safe to say there's a lot of us when in the arena of finances where we're going, I didn't sign up for this situation. And often when we get to that point where we say that, we're kind of looking up to the Lord like, what? Not that we ever want to put fault on him, but we're questioning like, wait a minute. This isn't the way this was supposed to go. So, if any of you in here today feel like you're in a situation now or there's lingering situations that you're saying inside of your heart, I did not sign up for this. Well, then this chapter is for you. It's for today. It'll be for you tomorrow. And there's a good chance that it might minister to some things in your past, okay? Because Scripture says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 9:6 that we often quote during the Christmas time, the Advent season, is that Jesus is an everlasting Father. Jesus is present right now as he was present with Daniel before he was even born. Isn't that crazy? Think how God works in all of time. As Daniel's sitting there bound up, facing these lions, wondering, is it about time? Just waiting. Just knowing what's probably going to happen next. And yet you have Jesus, the everlasting Father over all time, who I guarantee you was present there with him. As he's present there with you when you're facing, in essence, your lions, your situations, you're facing the things that inside your brain and your heart, you're like, I did not sign up for this. When that thing is facing you right in the face, it's facing you and it's potentially saying, I'm going to cause you harm right now and in the future. And you're just like, Lord, Jesus is Father over all of that. So as we go into chapter 6, consider this again too. As you serve the Lord, you're leaving a legacy right now. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're leaving a legacy in every situation of your life. And that might be for your kids. It might be for your grandkids, to your spouse, to your boss, coworkers. You're leaving a legacy right now. And that legacy is unto Jesus. Amen? And leaving a legacy, I would say, always comes with struggle. Leaving a legacy always comes through hardship because that is just a part of life. And it's usually through those things is where some of the greatest aroma of your legacy is going to be left. When everything's hunky-dory, my kids might go, what strange vernacular are you using, Father? When everything's going just fine, we don't really pay too close attention to any legacy, but when somebody's going through something and we watch how they handle themselves, that's usually when we're like, but that's especially if you're believers, you go, that's Jesus. That's not so-and-so, that's Jesus showing up. I remember when we lived here back in the 90s and close friends of ours were having their first child and she gave birth to a stillborn. The sadness of that time was immense, but watching this couple give glory to God as they held their dead child, I remember at that moment going, that's Jesus. And it's interesting, I haven't thought about that years. That's got to be the Holy Spirit right now reminding me of Jeff and Rhonda Howard. I'm surprised I remember their name. I'm getting much older these days. Giving praise to Jesus, even though all of this excitement over their child was lost in this moment. But that was Jesus. So it comes through difficulties. And as we're looking at this passage of Scripture, consider the fact that possibly there might need to be some changes in your own personal patterns and the way you're facing life and the way you're facing your situations right now. And to be reminded that I'm leaving a legacy right now. And how I respond to the situations that I'm facing right now really means something to the Lord. It might change the way you're viewing the Lord even in this season. I want to challenge you as the body of Christ that's a part of the River Church here. You're leaving a legacy amongst one another. You're leaving a legacy, obviously, to those in your personal life, but you're leaving a legacy here. Ask the question, why does the Lord have you here? Consider, what's God doing in your life, even in spite of the situations and maybe some of the hardships that you're facing? How is God going to expand the kingdom through you in your situation right now? Because God might say, I'm going to use you right now for this person over here and what they're going through. And some of you might have good relationships like that. I want to challenge you, as I mentioned right up front, some of the things that we're tackling as a church, some of the cultural things, the things that have just unintentionally become normal in church. If you're here and you're attending this church and you're lonely, you need to do something about it. I've had so many people write me letters leaving the church like, I'm lonely, I'm angry, I'm upset, nobody cares about me, when I had no idea what they were going through. And that's hard, and I know that can be normal, but what it's challenged me is like, I need to get to know people better. I need to be able to look them in the face every Sunday. How's it going? Be acknowledged. Be acknowledged, like, I see you. But it's like, I can see you, but I don't really know what's going on inside of you. And it's important that other people around you know what's going on inside of your life. When usually we feel like, I don't want anybody to know. I just, let me show up, smile, say, hey, how's it going? Great, fine, and be on your way. Do not make that your normal. If that's your normal, something's got to change. Because this life we're living is way more than that. David, before he became king, told King Saul, like, basically, I'm not afraid of this guy who's talking trash to us right now. Why? Because I've tackled a lion and a bear. Let's go. You're facing things right now in your life that are going to help you face future things in your life. And you don't need to say, I didn't sign up for this. God said, you're going to be alive and you're going to live this life. And I've overcome this life. So you've got nothing to fear. That's all in the Word. So if you're not in the Word, get in the Word. You need to be in the Word, because that's where the Holy Spirit reminds you of what the Lord says to you, his promises to you, so that you can keep your eyes on him. Just like when Peter's walking on water and then he's quickly looking at the storm and he's sinking into the water, like Jesus is like, get your face right on me. Don't look at this stuff. I'm going to allow you to do the impossible and walk on water. And maybe for some of us this morning, we might be feeling like, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. Get your eyes on Jesus. He'll give you the capacity to do what you cannot do. That is the beauty of Christmas. That is the beauty of this life we live walking with Jesus, to be able to do what we cannot do. That's why Jesus said, it's good for me to go, because then the Father's going to send his Holy Spirit. And when his Spirit comes upon you, he gives you power to do things that you cannot do. Power to leave a legacy behind that you cannot. I'll do the best to write my own script. No, Lord, what do you want me to do today? That's probably going to position me best to leave the best behind in that situation or in that moment. Okay, before I just start reading through Daniel chapter 6, I want some of your input. We're looking at Daniel today. Some of you who've read your scripture, you've maybe read this passage before. Maybe you've been in a Sunday school room decades ago putting flannel up on the flannel graph, and here's Daniel, and here's the lions. You know the story of Daniel. So he has left a legacy in your mind and in your heart. So give me just words that describe the Daniel that you've come to know. The Daniel that you're someday going to meet. How cool is that? So just one at a time, say it out loud. Who's the Daniel that you know? Faithful, courageous. I heard one over here. Loyal, dependable. Those are good. I would say yes. Those that describe the Daniel that I know. Okay, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to read through this and pause in a few places and just share some thoughts with you. It says, it pleased Darius, and Darius was the king now at this time, because Daniel got to span the life of a few different kings, and now it's King Darius. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. These were the smart guys, the wise guys. and over them three high officials. Just as the incoming President Trump is choosing all of his high officials, such was King Darius right now. He's picking all of his people, but he wants to set three of them, key people in the high places, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account. So he puts him in a place of high leadership. Got to remember where Daniel comes from. He's a Jew. He's one of the Hebrews that was brought in captivity, and now, once again, he is placed in one of the highest places of authority in this land, in this foreign land. It says that he put these people in place so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Say, excellent spirit. Guess what you have? Excellent spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, the same spirit that was upon this man. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. That's significant. But I want to encourage you, it doesn't require you to relate to Daniel to be somebody who is placed in this great place of authority. That doesn't equip you or doesn't qualify you in the place of legacy. You don't have to be placed in that place of authority. Right where you're at in your life, in this season of life, even if you were in places of authority a long time ago and now you feel like, maybe you feel like, I don't even know who I am anymore. You're leaving a legacy right now. The goal is not to have to be in those places of authority, but yet, as a follower of Jesus and the power of his spirit, you are somebody who brings great authority into every situation because of his spirit upon your life, because he, the Father, loved you and gave his son for you. Jesus bled and died for each and every one of you in this room. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to equip you to go into every situation with his power and his authority, giving you gifts and abilities that are not of your own. They are supernatural. This is how the gospel increases. This is how the kingdom of God is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the peace of his government is not going to ever get smaller. It's only going to get bigger. And we need to be faithful to him and leave a legacy for him. He called me in the ministry back in the mid-90s, and he just worked it out. I mean, it was like God said so, and thus it was. But because I'm a pastor, it doesn't qualify me more than anybody else. What I do is to be faithful to him and leave a legacy for him. That's it. That's what he's calling each one of us to do. Verse 4, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. Normal life stuff. People are jealous. People don't like so-and-so. What are we going to do about it? But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was, somebody already said it, faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. Darn it. It's not there. But then these men said, quote, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. I don't want to speak for you, but I just know myself. I don't want people to find complaints against me because of my mouth or my actions, but I'm a human being, and sometimes that happens. But they couldn't find any fault in this man, except for what had to do with his God. So this may not be the kind of stuff that's happening where you work or in your life right now. People aren't searching out how to find fault with you, but we do have an adversary who's going to bring warfare, who's going to poke and prod at the spiritual places in our life. That's for sure. Verse 6, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce it and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man, lowercase g, any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. They're all high-fiving themselves. Good job, guys. Let's see what he says. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. The thought that came to me through this passage was the prayer that Jesus leaves us. It says, hey, when you pray, pray like this. And part of that prayer says, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I just want to emphasize that because as we're leaving a legacy in this life right now, a reminder is it's not my will be done, but your will be done. That means there could be some stuff that's stirring over here. There could be some problems that are rising up over here, and I'm going to face them, but I didn't sign up to face them, but I'm going to be dragged in front of them, maybe because God says, you're just dealing with this because it's a situation. Here's a situation here. I know you didn't sign up for this, but it's the situation you're going to face right now, and I need to go, not my will, but your will be done. That's what I need to do. Verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house. I love this part. Reading this a few times over the last few days, I guess I saw something here that I didn't. I didn't realize how much Daniel realized what was going on. This wasn't new news to him. It says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, meaning he knew the document existed, and I guess he probably knew what they were up to. Jealousy. There was division. They didn't like him, probably for a whole list of reasons. Again, sometimes you're in a situation, you didn't do or say anything, you're just yourself, and people start hating your guts. Guess what? Jesus says, I'm bringing a sword, and that sword is going to divide households. It's going to divide your very family members in your household. Because the truth of the gospel is going to divide people. And sometimes you just show up and something spiritually is going on in the background. You're being cordial and kind and nice, and somebody else just has an attitude towards you, and you're like, what? That's just some of the darkness of how the enemy works in through our lives. And then that's often where we're like, Lord, I'm being kind and loving. I don't deserve this. It's just going to happen. You can be Daniel, and there's nothing that anybody has against you, but the enemy hates your guts. Things are just going to happen, but how you respond to those moments really means everything. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, guess what he did? He went into his house, where he had windows in the upper chamber. Now, there's part of me is like, he could have just got into his prayer closet and praised the Lord and prayed to God without anybody knowing. Like, God knows his heart. Why does everybody else need to see this? But he just knew how he loved the Lord and how he did things. And so he went up where everybody could see him in his upper chamber, open towards Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. What came to mind here was that Daniel knew his priorities. And even though he's facing a good chance to die, it's not going to change the priorities. It's not going to change who he is. I can't tell you how many times I have cowered in situations facing something. Like I said, I'm not going to profess that. I was a people pleaser. Bastard, we should do this. yeah, you're right. And everything inside him, he's like, no, we shouldn't. But I don't want you to be mad and leave. So, yeah. Every time it backfires. So I'm learning to give leadership to the conviction and vision that the Lord gives. Sometimes that's hard. That's oftentimes what my lion looks like. Facing this person who's just loving and with great intentions, but in my spirit I can feel like it's not time for that. But I don't want to let them down. Daniel knew his priorities. He knew scriptures like this, Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 3. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. He knew that passage. He knew Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Not just kind of, not just when it's convenient, all the time. I have to believe, though it's not here in Scripture, that Daniel was there when his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the furnace. And the king of that time saw not three, but four. And those guys walked out, not burned at all, no scent upon them. Daniel was probably there when that happened. And he knew, if it's my time, it's my time. Otherwise, the Lord goes with me into the lion's den. So let's go. I don't know if he was saying that. That's just me getting all riled up right now. But I want to encourage you as you're walking out your life, as you're facing these situations right now, just be faithful to Jesus. Doesn't mean you have to have everything figured out. Doesn't mean you have to solve the problem that's in front of you. You just be faithful to Jesus. You just say, Jesus, I love you, and I need your help right now. I'm not going to let this run my life and run my thoughts and run me over right now. I'm going to be faithful to you. Daniel's just saying, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to pray to my Lord the three times a day that he was obviously doing. I'm not stopping. Whatever comes next is whatever comes next. Verse 15, then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel. And now this is where you really begin to see the legacy that Daniel's leaving behind. You already saw it in other kings as you read in some of the earlier chapters. But again, this is what the king says. May your God whom you serve continually deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. How amazing is that? That Daniel's having such impact on this man that though he knows he has to follow the law, he goes to his own spot and begins to pray and believe and reach out to his own gods that somehow something might change on behalf of Daniel. That is legacy that's beginning to happen. And then it says, verse 19, then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the lion's den, to the den of lions. And he came near to the den where Daniel was, and he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually, he's pointing out the fact that Daniel has been faithful and continually serves his God. There is something in this guy that is so amazing. I don't want him to die. He shouldn't die. Has he been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel says to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Here we have the physical situation of an angel coming and closing the mouths of the lions. I don't know what that looked like, but Daniel did. I haven't been thrown in any lion's dens lately. I've not experienced that. But I have prayed that, God, would you close the mouth of the enemy that's speaking lies in my head right now? In Jesus' name, by the powerful blood of Jesus, quiet. I often have to ask God, Lord, help these thoughts, help these things be taken into captivity right now. To me, that's a great practical version for all of us of how the Lord is in our situation, and he can close the mouth of whatever those lions look like for you. And with authority, we can trust these things and declare these things in Jesus' name. So, question to you, what device, what situation, what relationship, what finances are ready to devour you? Do you have one of those situations? I look around, and I think probably most of you would agree to say, as you look at this country that you've come to know, and some of you, I'm in my 50s, some of you are older than me, just a few of you. Why are we laughing? You're watching this country deteriorate faster than you've ever seen before. Culture is rising at levels and moving at speeds I have never seen before. People are engaging things that I didn't even know it was possible to get here this quick, this fast. What happened? To me, that's like a version of lions that face not just me, but all of us. How are we going to respond to that? Some of us want to grab the pitchforks, grab the torches. We're going to storm the castle. I just go, Lord, I can't fix this. What do you want of me? I need to be faithful to what he wants of me in that situation. For Daniel, it was, Daniel, just go about your business. Just spend your time worshiping and praising me. Let me take care of the rest. There's such a temptation in this life to have to take care of everything and to fix everything. And oh my goodness, as a pastor, one of the blessings of it is the Lord has taught me to rely on him, because I can't fix everybody's problem. I can't fix the financial situation. I can't fix this and I can't fix that. I didn't sign up for this. No, you didn't. I called you into this. Yes, you did. So I'll be faithful to you. It's really simple. A lot of us take on the role. You got the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. Because dinner doesn't cook itself, right? Life is busy. No, I get it. But to say, I'm going to take the role of Mary in this situation in my heart and say, Lord, what do you want? And not just go busy myself to death. Because Jesus said to Martha, Martha, what Mary has decided, that's not going to be taken from her. And I could spend so many hours and so much time trying to fix all of these things. And the Lord's like, you just be faithful to me. I will close the mouth of that lion. I will deal with this situation. I got to learn to trust that. And I'm still learning how to trust that. And that's part of the legacy that God wants to develop and do through my life. I've come to trust that. Verse 23, then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted his God. And the king commanded. Like, to me, that right there, that's the same as, and when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought out of the fire, it says, and there was not even any smell of fire on them. I want you to be encouraged that it's possible for you to face what you're facing right now and come through the other side of it without any scent of it. It says there was no harm There was no kind of harm found on him because he had trusted his God. And the king commanded that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. That's a horrific picture. Like, oh, Lord. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be... This is a pagan king for crying out loud. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. I just love how God takes over people's mouths once in a while. I don't even know if this guy truly knew what he was saying. I think he kind of did, but he's just declaring this is who his God is, and this is how life's going to work now. He delivers and rescues. How cool would it be if your pagan boss or pagan friends began to think inside of their mind that this God that you serve is better than what's going on in my life? That how they respond to their circumstance, I want that. That's what I want to decree in my life. And they may not know how to do it yet, but let God orchestrate that. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the powers of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian, of which, again, under the influences and the legacy that some of these people were leaving to these kings, allowed the process of the Hebrew people, the Jews, to be able to go back home and rebuild the temple. That's some serious legacy right there. Again, I don't relate to that level of leadership and to all of that. I don't want that drama. But you know what? I've got my own drama. You have your own drama. And I know some of it is stuff that you're saying, I didn't sign up for this. But the Lord spoke your name at some point in time, knowing that you would be alive during this time. There might be some of you of a certain age that are going, I didn't sign up for this season of life in the United States of America. What on earth? I just want to remind you, you didn't make that choice to be birthed. The Lord did. And now you're here. And you and I, we are to serve him faithfully. I don't put any pressure on my kids. But I hope someday when I'm gone, they would say, Dad was faithful. I know my dad, who's gone, he was faithful. I don't spend lots of time dwelling on my dad, thinking about my dad. My dad pastored a church of thousands of people. Well over 100,000 people probably came to know the Lord through the ministry while he was alive. Unbelievable. But one thing I've come to learn is I've had a dad who served at that level, impacted that many people. Over time, people just kind of forget. But they do remember the key things, like faithfulness. What were some of the other things we said about Daniel earlier? Courage. Loyalty. Like those are the things that matter. And when somebody in the future remembers that about your life, there's an anointing, I believe, that is upon that because it had to do with Jesus Christ and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And what could be better if in years from now, if the Lord normal thing in our household is for after a service is for my family to say, okay, so you said this. I'm like, what? What was I saying? The spirit and the bride say, Lord, come back. Okay, we want you to come back, but let's say he gives us another 100 years. I'm gone. More than likely, the rest of us are gone. What's left behind? What's lingering? Will they say faithful? Will they say loyal? Will they say loving? And as I say these things, some of you might be doing that spiritual frisk right now going, I don't know if they're going to say that. Well, then there's still time because Jesus is still alive. He's still ruling in absolute authority in heaven today. Amen? Amen. And because of his blood and because of what the Father had planned through his Son that is actively happening right now, we get the opportunity to keep leaving a legacy. It's not too late. It's never going to be too late. We're leaving a legacy right now. I want to pray, and then I'm going to invite Pastor Rob. Will you come on up? And he's going to close us out. But bow your heads. Let me just pray with you. So, Lord, I really want to bank right now on what you want to say to individuals. Lord, I thank you for developing the words that you gave me today. But what matters is what you're saying and what you've been saying along the way. And then what you say tomorrow. And maybe the reminder that you bring next month in the summertime as we move into 2025. You are leaving a legacy, and it is of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, though you're the one that's in control of your life, to keep removing yourself and giving God more space. That is ultimately what is needed. I'm learning that I don't need to leave a name for myself. That is not what matters in the end. What matters in the end is that were there foundations and things that were put into place that people are learning about Jesus and they keep moving forward? Because if we're believers, we're all moving in the direction, the same direction into eternity. We sang about it. And I just want to finish with this, and this is actually connected. I came this morning going, God, how do you want to finish things? And as I got to go into the prayer room and have a group of people pray over me, I believe it was Nancy. She prayed some things over me, and one of the things that she prayed was is how Jesus makes us clean. We're professionals at looking at our garbage all piling up. We're really good at disqualifying ourselves. I'll just sit on the bench. No, that's of the enemy. I just want to encourage you today that Jesus died on the cross for you. And maybe as you take inventory of your life and you're going, I don't know if I'm leaving the legacy that I should have. All right, let's just stop right there and say, all right, Lord Jesus, I keep my eyes on you today. And I want you to leave the legacy in my life. Will you show me how to do that? By your Spirit, will you give me power to walk with you that I'll leave a legacy starting even right now? God has a way of healing things in our past, setting our foot for the future. Walk into 2025 with confidence, not of your doing, but of Jesus' doing. He can simply look at that lion that you're facing in your life right now and say, quiet. Just as the disciples were yelling, God, save us, don't you care? And he wakes up and he just speaks to the storm, peace. And they were bewildered that this man could even speak to the elements. Lord Jesus, because of what you've done for us and because you're God, would you just declare peace into the situations of my brothers and sisters? That you would bring supernatural confidence and encouragement into their situations. God, I pray that this church will continually and increasingly leave a legacy. Lord, I lift up my church that's finishing up right about now up in Snohomish, Washington, that it'll leave a legacy for the younger generations around us, to the people who keep moving forward. And in Jesus' name, these things can happen. And we give you praise today. And we all say, amen. All right, Pastor Rod.
Well, thank you, my brother, for that inspiring word to reach for the legacy and the beautiful teaching from Daniel. Thank you so much. That's my heart, too. Is it your heart, too? Want to leave a legacy for the Lord? Amen. Well, very good. Well, folks, I'm going to invite you to stand right now. We're going to just leave you with a blessing now. But two things first. One, want to let you know there's always prayer available right after the service, right up here. So if you came with a need today, please come and receive some prayer. Also, want to remind you that in the Tahoe room in the back, there is some coffee, and I saw a few snacks back there, a few treats, if you want to go back and have a little time of fellowship and say hi to some folks. And also, just a reminder that there is the sign-ups out there in the lobby, if you would take the time to take a look at those and participate as you are able. And that being said, I want to leave you with this blessing. And now may the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, who conquered sin and suffering, danger and death, may he strengthen you as you live your lives. May he who overcame all obstacles, all handicaps, all threats, all terrors, all enemies, and finished his work, may he help you conquer everything in your lives that prevents you from doing his will and living life as he intended for you. As he overcame everything in the world that threatened him, may he help you overcome what you face. And may he guide and strengthen you so that you may be at peace in him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks so much for being here today. Hey, listen, I wish you a very blessed New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. The next time we come together, next Sunday, we'll have a New Year's message. And we'll see what the Lord might be speaking to us as we start out the new year. Please greet someone you didn't earlier. Say hi to someone. Come for prayer. Head to the back. Have a great week either way. An online family, God bless you. Thanks for being with us today, too. God bless you, everyone. Thank you.